Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, SmackDown Review.
Holy crap, we're back.
Huzzah.
How'd that happen?
Magic.
Oh, I know how it happened. I know how it happened. You finally found someone to review the cluster fudge sickle that is Raw with you.
Yep, I found another victim.
that's a good way to put it.
I mean, granted, it's been much better recently, but you can listen to our thoughts on that over on the Raw review. So be sure to go check it out.
Let's go ahead and tell everybody who we are, and then you can tell them who you are with your partner for Raw, shall we?
Okay.
Because it's been a while, so we should probably remind them who we are. Good evening.
Although most of them should, keyword there should, yeah. Go listen to it now. Should go listen to the kickoff, and should listen to the kickoff anyway, so they should know who we are.
Well, for those of you who don't, who tend to stay more on the wrestling side of things rather than the football and sports side of things, I am your host. This is the W2M SmackDown Review. Are we calling this the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Review, or are we going W2M Network SmackDown Live Review? What are we doing?
Whatever you want to do. I don't think it really matters at this point.
Whatever. Anyway, I'm your host, much like I am for the kickoff. My name is Harry Broadhurst. That man over there, the other voice that you're hearing, is Brandon Biskobing.
Hello.
And the unfortunate soul who Brandon suckered into doing the Raw review with him is Cedric Cologne. He won't be here on SmackDown. He's only doing Raw because apparently he hates himself. Just kidding, Cedric. Welcome to the team.
Yeah, we had fun. We're going to have fun either praising or trashing, probably more often than not trashing Raw on a weekly basis.
Well, we are on the build to WrestleMania.
Well, no, that's exactly what we talked about last night was how, or the other night, we're recording this on Wednesday.
Behind the curtain.
Yes, precisely. Well, hey, might as well. Hey, WWE does it now on a regular basis, which we talked about in depth on Monday night. We might as well do it too. But yeah, we talked about how, like, you know, this is the road to WrestleMania, and, you know, we've said it year in and year out on the road that, you know, the show always starts getting better and edgier and feeling more like days of old. And then come, you know, June, it's back to same old, same old.
Well, there's actually a little bit of reason to be somewhat optimistic going forward.
Oh, I agree, and I said that myself.
The reason being is with April having Backlash back where it belongs, as I understand it. The big one for me is they've moved Money in the Bank up to May this year.
Mm-hmm. So where are they? Are they? I guess they moved Extreme Rules back to June. I haven't seen the full schedule yet.
Yes, Extreme Rules is Actually, I think Extreme Rules may be July and Backlash may be June. I'm not sure. Oh, well, WrestleMania in April, so I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we... Maybe we have another Saudi Arabian show coming up at the end of April, and they're just not discussing it on television yet.
If I remember correctly, I did look... I did see it on a site. I did see the full schedule. And I think there is a Saudi show coming up sometime either in May or June.
My guess would be beginning of May, probably similar to when they did the Greatest Royal Rumble last
year.
Yeah,
probably.
I wonder if this will be the Greatest Royal Rumble 2.
Part 2, maybe.
The only question is are they going to get Ultimate Warrior and Yokozuna for this one like they won it last time?
No, now they'll Come get on. King Kong Bundy. Oh, too soon?
Hey, too soon! Boo! Boo that man! Boo!
I'm sorry, you set me up way too easily for that one. This year, they'll ask for Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, and King Kong Bundy.
The views and opinions of Brandon Biscombing do not necessarily...
That's not my shtick, that's Jason's.
But he's not here, so I have to work it in somewhere. True. We're hitting the high spot here tonight.
Fair
and
enough.
Come work with me.
Real quick before we get started on the show itself, should we talk about the big elephant news in the room on the show, especially since we're not doing NXT? Or
we'll discuss the elephant at the end when we go to make our pay per view predictions. We'll do kind of a news wrap and pay per view predictions thing together.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Because. Yeah, especially because stupid me forgot to do predictions on Monday. So,
you know,
sorry
what this
about
means.
That.
We're gonna have to message Cedric and get his predictions in order to keep a running tally.
True.
We've been doing a running tally over on the reaction thus far this year. Tony and I are tied at 11-5. Andrew's 10-6. So not bad so far. I'm hitting 68% of the matches. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with that.
Shall we get this started?
We shall.
Before this show goes even further off the rails?
We're not off the rails yet. We haven't actually begun the discussion of SmackDown yet. Give us time. We'll get there. It's all relative, sir.
Fair enough.
And I don't want you. And I don't need you. See, now we're going off the rails. Because now I'm singing Manson's Beautiful People. And that's just going to get us sued for copyright. Therefore,
But it's oh wow, I'm drawing a blank. Who had that as his theme in ECW? Axl Rotten.
Yeah, the Bad Breed. They used Beautiful People. And then Balls Mahoney used Big Balls. He did. And then they came out to I think it was like a mashup of the two together when they were a team as the chair swinging. Okay, now.
But remember, you cannot say Balls Mahoney. You must refrain.
I'm not allowed to. This is true. I'm not allowed to say Balls Mahoney. I forgot about that. Please refrain from saying Balls Mahoney. Okay, we're good. Man, we really are hitting the high spots, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. All we need is one more, but then again, he's not on the show, so we can't do it.
I have a few that we're going to work in still, don't worry.
Fair enough.
Remember, there are matches on this show, and you know what that means.
Oh, yes, I do.
Did you do that with Cedric on the
Raw
Report?
Yes, I forgot on the first match, I forgot to do it because I kind of segued right from the promo right into the match, so I forgot to do it, but after that, I did it for the rest of the matches.
And did he respond in the affirmative?
Yes, he did.
Hi,
like,
Wilford.
Like that?
It wouldn't be a W2M podcast that you're on without Wilford trying to make an appearance.
Nope, of course not.
The only thing missing is Tori in the background. She's going to hear this and want to kick my ass. All right, let's move on. Yep. It was March the 5th when this show happened, but we're recording this on March 6th, as Brandon mentioned there. Prior commitments last night didn't allow for this to be recorded live right after the show. Plus, I'm a little bit behind on 205 Live, which we may eventually get back to. It depends. If we do so, we'll probably just end up tagging it on as a quickie review at the end of SmackDown rather than having it as its own separate show just to save us all the time and hassle.
Fair enough, and plus 205 I hate to say it, but...
put as much effort into 205 as the WWE does.
Yeah, and it, I mean, granted, I've said this for, like, the past year and a half, but it seems like 205 is, like, on its last legs.
I don't understand why they just don't combine it with NXT.
Or at least do it, like, basically like what they were doing last month. Or not last month, a couple of months ago when Mixed Match Challenge was on. And have it on Wednesday and just record it at Full Sail.
I mean, you've already seen, you see more of an NXT 205 crossover as it is anyway. Gulak was just on NXT TV a couple of weeks ago facing Matt Riddle in one hell of a match.
This is true. And also, a lot of former NXT guys have now transitioned over to 205, like Kurio and now Lorcan in the tournament.
So I don't understand why you just don't... I don't understand why you can't just put the Cruiserweight title on NXT. They need a secondary title anyway.
Well, they already have a secondary title.
They have the North American title, but now they don't have a heavyweight champion. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Dun, dun, dun! Dramatic reverb.
Playing the part of Eric Watkins tonight will be Brandon Biscombe. As I mentioned,
we're just stepping on everyone's toes tonight, aren't we?
Screw it. We wouldn't be us if we didn't. All right. So, as mentioned, it is March the 5th. I almost said January 5th because I've lost track of time in the course of how long it's taken us to set up this show. And we open this episode of SmackDown with the SmackDown Live Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan coming out with his heavy Rowan, who apparently, much the same way as, well, pretty much every big guy when they get up to the main roster, has lost his first name.
Well, yeah, of course. Isn't that the way things go, where everyone loses one name? I mean, I have to figure out a full, like, the full name and go through everyone who's lost their, you know, one of their names over the last couple of years.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I would love to make just like a giant cluster name of like, oh, this is going to be like the biggest tag partnership in the world.
So Brian and Rowan come out to discuss the fact that Kofi Kingston has been pulled from the championship match at the Fastlane pay-per-view and replaced by Kevin Owens. Brian says that it's kind of ironic that the man who throws away copious amounts of pancakes was replaced by the man who eats copious amounts of pancakes. Really, Daniel, you're better than that. That was a Vince line.
Of course it was.
Anyway, Brian says that Owens is, much like the fans, undeserving of a title shot because he's a nobody. But in the same point, that makes him dangerous because he has nothing to lose, whereas Brian has everything to lose because Brian is the planet's champion. At this point, Owens comes out and discusses the fact that if Brian is going to compare him to the WWE Universe, he's perfectly okay with that because for the 6 months that Owens was off of television, he found himself as a member of the Universe watching the shows with his family once again. They go back and forth for a little bit. And eventually Owens makes his way into the ring and tells Brian that if he wants to get some again tonight, he can, just like he got that stunner last week on SmackDown. Rowan gets in Owens' face. Owens and Rowan, easy for me to say, ebbidibib, but that's all folks, end up slugging it out and a Kerry Von Erich face claw choke slam by Rowan lays out Kevin Owens as the scene goes to black. Man, that was difficult to keep up with all the Owens and the Rowan.
Rowan D, Owen D, whoa, 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 whoa.
Ooh-wah!
Wrong show.
Your thoughts on the opening segment?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. I read this somewhere, and I kind of agree with it, but at the same time, I understand why they had to do it. But it's kind of weird, like, you know, Vince is, especially now, is supposed to be, like, this uber heel again, that in this crazy old man who's, you know, just taking people out of matches on a whim. And, you know, Kevin was the latest incarnation of it. Yet, now, and I mean, they kind of started it last week with Kevin asking for the match against, or asking to team with Kofi and everything. But now they're very squarely and very deliberately having Kevin say, hey, I'm a face here, you know, I'm a family man, all of that. So it's kind of weird that, you know, they made him Vince's chosen one, yet now they're trying to backtrack and make sure that he stays a face, which everyone was anticipating him being when the vignettes were starting.
I don't know. I don't like Kevin Owens as a face, though. I never have.
I'm fine with it.
He comes off as a much more natural heel.
I'll agree with that, but, you know, I think as long as you do it well and you keep up with it and everything, I think it'll be equal. I'd be cool with it.
We come back from the commercial break and we discuss what's going to happen with what has been happening with the SmackDown Tag Team titles. The Usos have an in-ring promo, and I'm not sure which one it was because I can never tell those two apart, but the one that was clowning on Miz was pretty funny. And you could actually see, like, even though they're kind of technically supposed to be heels here with the Usos, you can see members of the WWE Universe enjoying the entertainment value that the Usos are bringing as well.
That's a weird thing, though, about this whole feud between these two teams. And this may just be because of my bias towards multiple people in this feud. But, like, this is a feud that there doesn't really seem to be any clear-cut heel or face.
They definitely tend to go more shades of gray with this year, and I think it's they're kind of letting us decide who we want to cheer
exactly.
for, because there's a redemption story for Miz with his father.
Mm-hmm.
Shane gets the pop from the fans regardless because of the crazy stuff that he does.
Mm-hmm.
But the Usos have a very considerable swelling of fan support their sheer entertainment value and the fact that they've been with the company now for close to a decade.
And also because their newer gimmick is very entertaining and a lot of people like it.
It connects more too, especially with a more urban audience.
Yeah, because I mean, I used to not really care about the Usos, and I wasn't much of a fan of theirs back when they were doing their whole war chant and everything on the entrance ramp, coming down and doing the war paint and all of that. But now with this new gimmick, I've gotten behind them ever since the brand split.
This leads to singles action as our opening contest, scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Sees The Miz take on Jey Uso. I'm glad that they were able to tell them apart to tell us who was in the match. The match itself ends up breaking down, as these matches are wont to do, when Jimmy tries to help Jey with a submission hold. Shane leaps off the ring steps to clothesline Jimmy. Jey takes out Shane with a baseball slide dropkick. Goes to suicide dive onto Shane, and Miz picks him out of the dive into the skull-crushing finale for the finish at 6 minutes and 10 seconds.
I just thought of something with how you mentioned how they told us which one was competing. How much you want to bet Vince has to ask them, like, on a weekly basis, okay, which one of you is which?
God damn it, pal, which one are you? I could totally see that.
Yeah.
See, the long-running joke was that Naomi couldn't tell them apart either, but that's neither here nor there. Regardless. As we come back from the match itself here, what did you think of the match real quick before we move on?
I mean, the match itself wasn't that bad. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it was a good solid match. It got everything, got everything involved that they wanted to, created all this suspense, getting us prepared for the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Wolford hates Miz.
Yeah, well, welcome to the club.
Unfortunately, Wilford's opinion is not allowed to air on the show on a regular basis. Sorry, Will. Anywho. Don't give me no sass. I'm hoping that the show is still running and they can actually hear him barking and I'm not just talking to myself.
Oh, it is. Unfortunately. Okay.
All right, let's pause real quick. Apologies for that, everybody. I know that you actually caught me calling for the pause on air there. Due to issues with Wilford, who does like to make his presence known on these things on occasion, we decided that it was best to take a quick halt to the show, let him settle down, and then we can pick back up where we left off.
Uh-huh.
The United States Open Challenge follows. I guess technically I'm skipping a Charlotte promo, but if you've seen one Charlotte promo, you've seen them all.
Oh, pretty much.
She invites Becky to show up later tonight on SmackDown. Obviously, Becky's going to in order to set up the match on Sunday. It's apparently both of these women are allowed on both shows now because that's what happens. Brand split? What brand split? I don't know what brand split you speak of. Anyway.
Tori keeps on telling me and I keep on trying to refuse her being right, but I'm probably pretty sure she probably is right, that this brand split will last much shorter than the first one did, and we're going to see them recombine sooner rather than later. The only thing that's keeping me holding out hope that it won't is that, you know, Fox, because they're spending all this money for SmackDown, you would think that they'd want a unique show.
Well, my guess, too, is that with Raw and SmackDown going to separate entities now, going to separate networks, I think there'll be a lot less interaction between the two shows. You might get like a SmackDown rebound and a Raw rewind on the respective shows there, but I would think that they would want talent to be exclusive to one show or the other.
Yeah, you would think, but we'll see what happens.
Then again, Fox gives WWE $1 billion, they can pretty much ask for whatever they want to.
Exactly.
All right, so the U.S. title open challenge is back as Truth wants to be like his hero, John Cena.
Who apparently he says he watched as a kid, even though Truth has been wrestling longer than Cena has.
It's Truth. I mean, it's hard to hate the guy, come on.
But see, like, oh no, I agree with you, and I know that this has kind of been his shtick for a few years now, that, you know, he doesn't understand things and he's basically like a senile old man. But at least you could have had Carmella like basically bring back his old gimmick of like from what, like 2015 or 2016, and like Carmella being like, Truth, you started wrestling in 99. He's like, oh, I did? Sorry? My bad.
That one's on me, y'all.
That one's on me.
Technically speaking, Cena was wrestling in 99. He just wasn't in the WWE.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. We move on here. So, once again, Truth issues the U.S. title open challenge. It is answered first by Samoa Joe, then by Rey Mysterio, then by Andrade Cien Almas. Your ring announcer goes to announce that this is a fatal four-way, and Truth rather hilariously tries to back out.
It's like, wait, what? I didn't agree to this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Apparently nobody told Truth that he has to cap his open challenge at one person, otherwise multiple people will respond. Three last week, four this week. There you go.
You mean two last week, three this week?
Well, three-way last week, four-way okay. this week.
Fair enough.
I know that Truth is involved in the match, therefore three and four.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, your next contest scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Is the aforementioned Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. title. And for the first time in his WWE career, Samoa Joe is a singles champion, having won the U.S. title, pinning Andrade with a Uranagi. No, Uranagi! Never mind. Still funny. Anywho, at 14 minutes and 45 seconds aired. Real quick, before we discuss the match, Lacey Evans had her Lacey bomb during Truth's Open Challenge. And Truth was ready to whoop that trick, which I thought was hilarious.
Don't even get me started. I did enough of my Lacey rant last week, or on Monday. I don't need to do more. It's stupid. Stupid. That is all.
I'm going to reserve judgment until we see what she does on the main roster as far as actual in-ring content. But the only match she's actually... The only match she's actually had on television on the main roster was a loss to Natalya on Main Event, which tells you how important it was because it was on Main Event!
Mm-hmm. Which no one ever watches. I never even remember that it's even a thing. It's just on the network.
And Hulu.
Oh, is it on Hulu? Okay, fair enough.
It's on
Hulu. But, like...
Back to Samoa Joe winning the U.S. title here. What do you think? Do you like it? Do you dislike it?
Oh, I like it. I definitely like it. I wonder where this leaves Truth, though.
Screwed.
What?
Screwed.
Yeah, probably. Because a lot of people were thinking, myself included, that, you know, this whole, you know, oh, John Cena is my hero, all of that shtick could have led to something at Mania with him.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually think that this U.S. title thing does lead to John Cena at WrestleMania with it, but
discuss
that in a few seconds.
Yeah.
Yes, not with Truth. Truth ends up in the armbar.
What?
Armbar. A-R-M-B, lowercase A-R. Andre Rusamoff Memorial Battle Royal.
Okay, fair enough.
They do announce a little bit later on in the show that it'll be Rey and Andrade once again on the pre-show for Fastlane. Look, I'm not saying that you need to give these guys a storyline, but one wouldn't hurt. That being said, that match is going to be fun on Sunday. Their matches have been nothing but fun against each other. I look forward to watching them.
I'll agree with that.
It'd be nice if they actually had a reason to face, like, let's say winner gets Samoa Joe for the U.S. title. You could put Rey over and do Samoa Joe and Rey for the U.S. belt, which would be fantastic. And I do believe a first-time ever match. I don't think it's happened on SmackDown yet. At least I don't recall it happening.
You know what's weird, though? And I kind of wish we would have seen this. Although, I guess they wouldn't want to make Truth look all that smart, because that's kind of his whole gimmick, is that he's kind of ditzy. But he's one of the few smart wrestlers when it comes to, I mean, especially if he never did actually have a singles match against Andrade, but he's one of the few smart ones.
Having Carmella to counteract Zelina?
Yep.
How did I know you were going there? I feel like we've had this conversation every week on SmackDown. Becky arrives backstage. Her confrontation with Charlotte is apparently on for later in the show. I'm as shocked as you are. Samoa Joe cuts a promo about being the new United States champion. Man, between the Owens and the Rowans and the Joes and the promos, I am having a day over here. I am clearly out of practice during SmackDown because these tongue twisters are whooping my ass. Anyway. Joe cuts a promo about winning the U.S. title, and notably to me is the one person that he calls out during the course of his promo.
Mm-hmm.
He specifically mentions John Cena.
by name and says that Cena stands for hustle, loyalty, and respect. Well, the only thing you get with Samoa Joe is disrespect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably going this way. The one way you could expand this and include what they've been doing with Truth over the last couple of weeks, which this is one way that it would actually be, like, I'd be okay with it and kind of make it more interesting, is basically Cena, you know, pulling strings and saying, hey, because he was respecting the title, he was respecting me, all of that, that Truth gets added and it's a triple threat.
Man, we're just all forgetting everybody paydays on this show, aren't we?
Yep. Well, that's what Mania is, though. You should know this by now.
Our next contest, scheduled for One Fall. Is tag team action, as for some reason, Aleister Black and Ricochet are still a thing as a tag team, despite the fact that they have literally nothing in common.
Well, I mean, at least they're keeping it... At least they're keeping continuity, because, you know, they're part of the Dusty Classic and everything. And they did kind of explain the reason why they started to get together. Granted, it was, you know, after they got together on the main roster to begin with, so it didn't fully make sense, but at least they kind of attempted to rationalize it on NXT.
Confession, I am a week and a half behind on NXT, so I have not seen the episode where they're announced as a team for the Dusty Classic. Thanks. Spoiler.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. We'll talk more about the Dusty here in a little bit later, with all the obvious unfortunate news that I think we have to touch on. But let's go ahead and talk to the let's go ahead and get back to this match here, as it is Aleister Black and Ricochet taking on The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, and How the Mighty Have Fallen. Oh wait, no, they're out of the WWE now. Mikey Nichols is back in New Japan.
Yep.
Different Mighty. How the Bar Has Fallen. Ricochet pinning Cesaro with the 630 after Black Mask by Aleister, getting the tag and then diving out onto Sheamus. I mean, the matches have been good. I'm not going to say that they haven't been good, but at the same time, I kind of wonder where this leaves The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus, because there's really not a whole lot for them to do here. You would think with the aftermath that happens, the Hardys, Nakamura and Rusev getting involved, that kind of sets the scene for where the SmackDown tag team titles are going to go from here. But with the SmackDown tag team titles being held by the Usos right now and them being involved with Miz and Shane, you think maybe set up a four-way for the tag belts at Mania for SmackDown over here? You get The Bar, the Usos, the Hardys, and Nakamura and Rusev?
Yeah, I could see that. That's probably where they're going to be going with this, because I have a feeling we'll get a triple threat. Well, although, aren't we getting that triple threat tag match at Fastlane already?
For the Raw tag team titles, Revival, Reed and Gable, and Aleister and Ricochet.
Yeah.
Because apparently the NXT guys are special enough that they still get to appear on both shows. They don't have to make a decision like the earlier crew did. They can just float. It's cool.
Yeah, it's great to be an NXT guy for now.
Your thoughts of the post-match with the Hardys and Aleister and Ricochet standing tall while Nakamura, Rusev, and The Bar get chased out of the ring?
I mean, I'm okay with it. I wonder if it obviously won't lead it to anything on Fastlane or at Fastlane, but I wonder if it'll set up something like maybe next week, like a 8-man tag match or something like that. We'll see where they go with this. It's like you said, it's kind of weird and it's kind of interesting, but also, you know, confusing what they're doing with the current NXT guys. Albeit only, what? It was just those four that were called up on that last grouping, correct?
Yeah, Aleister.
So the only two that are left now are Aleister and Ricochet.
My guess is Johnny goes back to NXT to carry that brand for a while because they need the star value losing their champion.
Oh, definitely. Again, definitely.
David later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more later. But, yeah, I mean, with it like, I don't know what exactly they're going to do with Aleister and Ricochet right now, because they're kind of just floating around. I'm hoping that they get solidified post-Mania, at least.
Well, my guess here is, because the rumors are that Raw's going to be more of the entertainment show, where SmackDown's going to be more of the sports show. My guess is that Aleister and Ricochet both end up on SmackDown.
Yeah, you're probably right there. But then again, you have, like, they're going to have another, or at least I would assume, that they'll have another shakeup before that happens. Because normally they have one post-Mania, and they also have one post-SummerSlam.
Well, all the more reason for them to end up on SmackDown. They have two different opportunities to get placed there. Although there's a rumor of an international superstar shakeup as well, so... Hell, Aleister Black may end up in NXT UK.
That would be weird, but we'll see. That's going to be very interesting to see how that whole thing works.
I honestly think international superstar shakeup is just a way to bring Pete Dunne to Raw. But that's just me.
Probably, and it may also just be a name just based off the fact that it's in Montreal.
Our next contest scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
And it's already over.
Mandy Rose taking on Naomi. Sonya Deville hops up onto the apron to distract Naomi. A knee strike from Mandy. And I'm going to give credit to my Raw Reaction co-host, Andrew Balas here. The bed of roses for the finish. The implant buster. I like that name. It worked. I would have went with Rose Garden, but whatever. Take your pick. Because she never promised you a Rose Garden. Never mind. That's a song. That's a song reference like four people are going to get.
Yeah, really.
Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we never really got a real finish to that feud, did we?
To Mandy and Naomi?
Yeah.
I think it's adorable that you think they care about Naomi.
Well, I agree, but you know what this reminds me of? And I hate to have to bring this up. And granted, it may not be quite as bad as this feud, and not as grand of a screw-up. But this really reminds me of Triple H and Booker T.
I'm not even going to touch that. Because I have thoughts on that that will probably get us kicked off of W2M.
Yes. But, so, I mean, because Mandy has been so despicable in this whole feud. And yet, Naomi has hardly gotten any revenge.
Well, that's because Naomi's just there right now. And Naomi's spinning her wheels, whereas they need Mandy for Challenger of the Month for Asuka.
Oh, I agree as to why they made this such a squash this time around. It's very disappointing.
Post-match, Asuka arrives and beats the crap out of Mandy and Sonya. Oh, crap.
What?
Oh, crap.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Because...
I'm thinking they can't be that stupid.
Oh, but they can. This is... And think about it. This is Vince McMahon we're talking about.
So help me, we'll talk about it when we do our predictions.
Yeah.
AJ Styles backstage promo talking about the fact of Owens versus Bryan for the title at Fastlane and that Kofi got screwed. Randy Orton arrives and tells AJ that AJ's talking about somebody else getting a title shot other than AJ. No wonder it took AJ so long to get here. Tongue-in-cheek asshole Orton is the best Orton.
And I do believe that this is a singles match that has never happened outside of the brief interaction that they had in the Gauntlet. So I'm actually looking forward to this as one of the Mania matches if it happens as rumored.
They didn't face at all. I mean, granted, it was in, like, multi-man matches, but they haven't ever been in, like, a multi-man title match or anything like that?
I don't think, to my knowledge, they've never been in a match where they are singles opponents against each other outside of the Gauntlet and the Elimination Chamber. If I'm not mistaken, Orton pinned Styles in the Elimination Chamber as well when he caught him trying to springboard in with the Phenomenal Forearm with an RKO. We move on. They officially announced that Rey versus Andrade is on the Fastlane Kickoff Show. Our next contest scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
It's over already, too. I'm sensing a recurring theme for this episode.
Squashy, squashy, squash, squash.
Well,
this one wasn't really a squash, but, you know.
No, this one, they go to the DQ finish yes. here when the match is Kevin Owens versus Rowan, Eric Rowan.
Yes.
Rowan. It goes to a disqualification finish as Brian and Rowan get involved with a double team beatdown. The save is made for Owens by Kofi. No, he's in India. The save is made by the returning Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, I
like Mustafa. I do.
I don't mind Mustafa. He's definitely grown on me. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him here. Because it's like... And here's an interesting question for you. Do you think if he hadn't gotten injured... And all of the rumors are saying that if he wasn't injured, that all the things that have been happening with Kofi, with, like, the Gauntlet match and all of that, would have been going to Mustafa. If that were the case, do you think there would have been this much of a groundwell of support for Mustafa to where he basically got forced into... the Mania, you know, match with Brian?
We had this conversation on the reaction a couple of weeks ago, and I'll give you the same answer that I had on the reaction. No, I don't, and the reason being is that Kofi has been around so long that he has built up a rapport with the WWE Universe that they respect what Kofi has done and the sacrifices that Kofi has made, whereas I don't believe that Mustafa has that groundswell, that constant elevation of his status with the universe there. The fans are oohed and awed by what Mustafa can do. His finishing move may be the prettiest in the WWE now that Neville no longer works there.
Uh-huh.
His 0-4 is one of the most impressive finishes in all of professional wrestling.
Uh-huh.
That being said, I think the fans are more behind Kofi than they would be behind Mustafa because of everything that Kofi has sacrificed to finally get to the opportunity where he has the potential to have a main event spot with a World Heavyweight Championship on the line.
I'll agree with that. I definitely agree with that. That, you know, Kofi has scratched his and clawed his way to this point for, what, 11 years? Yeah, 11 years now. So he definitely has that support. Whereas with Mustafa, with him getting pushed as hard as he was, you know, pretty much right off the bat, the fans wouldn't have been as determined to force him into the match because they would have felt like, okay, he's getting this push already, he'll get there at some point.
Like, I feel bad for Mustafa because he was kind of put in a no-win situation here with his return with the whole Kofi thing. And the reason I say that is because now, if they try to reinsert Mustafa into the title picture, they're going to turn against Mustafa on the basis that he's attempting to take the spot that fans feel should now belong to Kofi.
I'll agree with that, and I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll have him probably hang around the mid-card, maybe do something with Joe. I mean, because think about it, Joe and Mustafa had a big feud going into Elimination Chamber as well. And that had to be dropped as well. So, you know, you could potentially now do something with Mustafa and Joe, either, you know, going towards Mania or post-Mania. if the plan is Joe versus Cena.
I would argue that if the Cena thing doesn't work out because of the schedule, that Joe and Mustafa for the U.S. title is a perfectly competent match for either to open the WrestleMania card or to be one of the main events on the kickoff show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, our main event segment
scheduled for one conversation.
Nope.
Fine, worth a shot.
Becky and Charlotte discuss everything that's going on.
Charlotte comes up first. He calls Becky down to the ring, mocking her the entire time and saying that she knows how to get Becky to show up. Becky.
All right, you know what? Here's the thing with Charlotte. I have yelled and yelled and ranted and raved and bitched and moaned and complained about the fact that everything Charlotte does comes off very robotic, very forced, very unnatural. This segment didn't feel that way to me. This felt like the most natural that Charlotte's been on the microphone in the WWE in a long time.
Well, we've talked about it before, and it definitely seems this way. And I hate to say it, but it seems like there are more that adhere to this. And I don't know if it's because of WWE's writing. I think it's a combination of a number of different factors. It's WWE's writing in the PG era. It's that it's just simply more fun to be bad or what. But it seems like there are, like, the vast majority, there are very few exceptions. And even the guys that we thought were exceptions back prior to when they turned heel became, you know, even more of the rule. That it seems like guys have, you know, all pro wrestlers seem to have more fun as a heel and seem more natural as heels than they do as faces, especially in the WWE.
Well, I would argue that it's easier to be a heel because you're able to kind of lead where the matches are going and help allow more of a natural instinct to take over. Whereas a lot of WWE faces tend to be very pandering, very goody two-shoes. You could be a more natural character as a heel than you can as a babyface.
Well, that's what I was saying, especially in today's PG era, that you know the faces have to be very white meat and all of that. That you know you get that.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Where it seems much more forced. You know, the one big example, and, you know, this is going over to Raw, and I talked about this on the Raw review. The one big example, albeit he was doing a very good job as a face for the very short time that he was one. But Elias is so much better, you know, trashing a city and calling out their sports teams than he is trying to pander to them.
Becky eventually does make her way down to the ring. It ends up in a kerfluffle, just because I like using the word kerfluffle. Try to say it, it's fun.
Kerfluffle.
See, it's impossible not to smile when you say kerfluffle.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Anywho, Charlotte has the advantage early going after the knee. Becky's able to fight out with a couple of shots from her crutch after she took it back from Charlotte. Once again, reminiscent of the Ronda Rousey situation where Ronda took the crutch and then handed it back to Becky because what the
was that all about? But anyway, Becky gets the crutch back and breaks the attempt at the figure eight, and instead puts Charlotte into the disarm her as WWE officials pull Becky off, and we fade to black on SmackDown. Your thoughts on the segment in general?
First off, I just have to say wrong wrestler.
What do you mean?
Fade to black.
Groan.
But yeah.
Okay, how about this? We fade to Temptation Island. Is that better, Brandon?
No.
Okay, then let me say fade to black and be done with it.
But yeah, I mean, the segment was good. It was definitely getting us prepared for what I honestly hope, although I have a feeling it won't be. I hope this will be the main event at Fastlane, but we'll see where they go there. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely the most intriguing storyline that they've had on the road to WrestleMania. You know, and it's still kind of very, you know, we seem to have a much more clear-cut way of getting to what they've been, you know, what has been rumored for months now. So, it'll still be a very fun match. These two always put on good shows.
I'm going to agree that I think the match will be entertaining, although I think that Ronda's probably going to end up showing up and taking away some of the focus from this match, which I don't like. My assumption here is based on how we went off the air tonight is that Charlotte flukes her way into a victory, and then Becky goes on a rampage over the course of the next couple of weeks leading up to Mania to get added to the match anyway, because that's what happens.
I mean, I could see it potentially. If it happens, though, and I know people have been using comparisons to this ad nauseum now, but, you know, I think it's just too convoluted for me. Like, I know they use similar things with Stone Cold and everything during the Attitude Era, but the way it's been handled, it just feels like they don't know what they're doing. It's like, one week Stephanie's saying, you know, I can't do anything for you, and then the next she basically says, oh yeah, I could unsuspend Becky and put her in a match.
Yeah. Don't get me started on the whole Stephanie involvement on all this either. It's because one day she's a face, one day she's a heel, the next day she doesn't know what the hell she is.
Yeah, I mean, when it first started with the whole Vince thing and him taking Becky out of the match and putting Charlotte in, I was thinking, okay, this is the perfect opportunity, especially with all the NXT call-ups and everything, especially with everything that's going on, especially with all the rumors and everything. Now, granted, this was kind of kiboshed with the whole Batista stuff, but this is the perfect opportunity to hand over the reins and do it in a both, you know, literal and symbolic way. At Mania, Vince himself or a, you know, have him choose someone to be his
surrogate.
Muscle. Yeah, his surrogate. Against Triple H for control of the company.
Well, I would argue that it wasn't known that Triple H was going to be able to work Mania because of the fact that he had that surgery a couple of months ago right after Crown Jewel.
Very true. Very true.
Yes, I said Crown Jewel. All hate mail goes to s.garmer@gmail.com. I think that's the last of the high spots we had to hit. All right.
Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10 for this episode of SmackDown, Brandon. Where do you fall?
I'll give it a 7.5. You know, most of it was fun. It was nice seeing Joe win a title on the main roster finally. And that match was very good and very enjoyable. You know, like we talked about, there were a lot of very quick finishes. The whole Daniel Bryan, you know, KO brawl and all of that was a lot of fun to watch. For the most part, very good show. I get why they did it, but, you know, the whole Mandy Naomi thing was kind of cringeworthy. But besides that, solid show.
Yeah, top to bottom, SmackDown's a very easy watch on a weekly basis. Like, I understand there are people that have a hard time sitting through Raw, and frankly, I review it on a weekly basis, and I still have a hard time sitting through it most
weeks. I mean, these last 2 weeks have been a lot of fun. They've been very easy to enjoy.
SmackDown, I don't ever feel that kind of way about SmackDown, though. And the reason I say that is because with SmackDown, you get, excuse me. With SmackDown, you get the in-ring content, and you get traditionally very rational storytelling told from a top-to-bottom basis here.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy Rose has the title shot against Asuka. She's going to be made to look strong tonight on SmackDown here. Sonya Deville is going to be in Mandy's corner there. Sonya's used as a distraction key for Mandy to be able to look as good as she did against Naomi. Kevin Owens is back, despite the fact that he doesn't want to come back the way that he did, but he's still back and has the title opportunity, so Bryan's going to throw every obstacle in Owens' path to get to him at Fastlane. Mustafa Ali wants revenge on Eric Rowan and Daniel Bryan for what happened going into Elimination Chamber, so he's back tonight in order to help Kevin Owens in his fight. Everything makes logistical sense on SmackDown. I'm at slightly lower than you are. I'm at a 7, but top to bottom, it's still a very entertaining and a very easy 2 hours to get through.
Interesting question, and I don't know if you're going to talk about him during your predictions or anything like that. If you are, then just say, you know, move on. But do you think Sami Zayn, you know, where do you think Sami Zayn is in all this?
Armbar.
Armbar.
Returns at the armbar, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins it in order to set him up for a push upon his return.
So you don't think he has any alliance with KO or anything like that?
Well, you heard Owens basically mention that he has no friends at the start of the show.
Well, see,
I think they're kind of playing off of that.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that because we didn't directly reference that line. But as soon as Daniel said, like, you don't have any friends, like, I was so hoping that KO would smirk and he's like, you could think that, but you'd be wrong. And then just point to the Titantron and Sammy's music hit.
I had a similar thought while watching, and then upon thinking about it, I think that they went a better route here by saving Sammy's return for a more meaningful moment.
That's true, but I would have still liked it because it would have been perfect timing for one, and for two, it would have created a big pop.
If Sammy is to return at Fastlane, which I don't think he does, I do think that he will generate a massive pop if he comes out to save Owens from a 2-on-1 attack.
Mm-hmm.
If the ref goes down and then Rowan joins Bryan in an attack, and then I wouldn't be surprised to see Harper get involved as well.
Or if anything, you know, I mean, you could do two returns and a big surprise, like not really surprise, but a just, you know, gratifying pop of, you know, either during the match while the ref is down or post-match after Bryan wins, you know, they do the 2-on-1 beatdown, Sammy's music hits, and he comes in for the save, then Harper comes back, joins Bryan, and then have Kofi come in, you know.
Yeah, that was about what I was about to suggest here, is you could have Sammy and Harper get involved. I mean, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but
yeah.
For those that have listened to the SmackDown review here with any kind of regularity, you know we like to fantasy book a little bit on
here. Oh, of course.
I would have it that Bryan retains on Sunday, obviously.
Well,
and we'll do our predictions a little bit later on. Bryan retains. Rowan and Bryan lay in on a post-match assault on Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
The save is made first. The save is attempted to be made by Mustafa, but Rowan takes out Mustafa.
Okay.
Sami Zayn is then able to help Kevin Owens turn the tide until Luke Harper, or just Harper now apparently, mm-hmm. comes in to make it 3-on-2. You have Generico, Sami and Kevin now, I guess, because, you know, Steen and Generico, but whatever. And the former Bludgeons brawl to the back, leaving Bryan gloating in the ring with his title. New Day's music hits. Kofi comes out and comes down to whoop Bryan's ass.
Yeah, I could see that.
Rather or not that happens is discretionary. That is how I personally would go about it if I had anything resembling the book for the company. I don't. Take it with a grain of salt.
And you could also then, that would set up a match between, I mean, even if you wanted to just have it be a feud within the Andre, you could. But you could also expand upon it and make it an actual tag match feud between the former Bludgeon Brothers and Best Friends.
I would argue as far as that you could put that match in the undercard at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
Give them some kind of stipulation and let them go to town.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. One word review for SmackDown, Brandon. We'll bring this one back.
I'll say solid. You know, it wasn't, you know, anything spectacular, but, you know, for what they had to do as the go-home show for Fastlane, prepping all of the matches that they needed to prep, it was a solid show and a good way of getting fans ready and excited for Fastlane.
I'm going to go with Kerfluffle. No, seriously. I'm going to go with well-paced, hyphenated.
Okay.
SmackDown's able to make everything make sense in the two-hour time block that they have, much more so than having that bloated extra hour that Raw does. I think that if Raw were able to only have to deal with the 2 hours that SmackDown does, I think Raw would be a much more cohesive show because they're struggling to fill in the time on Raw a lot of the times, whereas SmackDown is able to keep its format sharp, get from point A to point B to point C to point D to Fate to Temptation Island. You did that to yourself.
Yes, yes, I know.
And that will officially wrap us up for SmackDown. And now that we're officially done discussing SmackDown, I believe it is time to move forward towards our predictions for Fastlane this Sunday. But you mentioned that there was a couple of news stories that you wanted to get to before we got to Fastlane. So I'll go ahead and let you take the lead for these here, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, the big one is that Tommaso Ciampa apparently has to have neck surgery for his injured neck. And that means that he's going to be out for a while. So all of the plans for DIY and that match between Gargano and Ciampa at TakeOver New York are all completely destroyed now. Very unfortunate for them. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they move forward with this on both the main roster and NXT in regards to this.
Well, we kind of teased my thoughts on this a little bit during the course of the show, and that I feel that Gargano goes back down to NXT full-time in order to carry that brand.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there aren't a lot of capable people down in NXT right now, as is, because there are, and there are several more that just recently debuted at the Performance Center who I think could be on NXT television tomorrow, and nobody would bat an eye for the independent wrestling fans among us.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite independent wrestlers, as a matter of fact, just recently got signed to NXT, and hopefully will be making his impact on NXT very soon, and that would be Albert Hardy, better known to independent wrestling fans as ACH.
Oh, okay.
So I look forward to seeing him. With regards to Ciampa, yeah, it's a really tough, pardon the pun here, it's a really tough break for Tommy Sports Entertainment.
Yeah, oh yeah, especially because it seemed like, you know, DIY were going to get a push on the main roster as well. It would have been weird, though, if they would have kept them together on the main roster while they were feuding in NXT. Yes, I know, like, continuity between the brands doesn't really matter to the head honcho over there, but, you know, yeah, it's just disappointing because also, you know, as we've seen before, and, you know, while Ciampa does kind of have he's got the chops to make a big name for himself in or on the main roster, I feel like because of his size and everything, he still would have been facing an uphill battle. And getting injured like this doesn't exactly help, because once you get that injury-prone tag put on you, then it doesn't help you at all.
I think a lot of it's going to depend on who's running the company when he comes back from his injury. Will Vince still be running around running the day-to-day operations, or will Vince be too focused on running the XFL?
True.
If Triple H is in charge of the day-to-day WWE operations, I think Tommaso Ciampa will be just fine because Triple H knows what Ciampa's capable of. Ciampa's been arguably carrying NXT for the better part of the last calendar year.
True. I'll agree with that.
That said, if Vince McMahon is the one still in charge of the main roster, I feel like when Ciampa returns, it might be best for him to stay in NXT until that is no longer the case because of the fact that Ciampa's an undersized guy and who will now have a reputation, probably in Vince's eyes, of being somebody who this guy just came off of a knee surgery and now he's out again because of a neck injury.
Exactly.
Issue. We can't invest the television time into him that we can't get back if he has to go under the knife again.
Never mind. Not going to say it.
Go ahead.
Even though I'm sure they'll invest plenty of time in someone who may have to go away for a long time again, especially considering what I've been reading.
Wait, what?
Apparently, if you have a cancer come back and you get it back in remission, that remissional period is shortened.
We'll see what happens with Roman. I wish him nothing but the best.
Oh, so do I, but I've been saying ever since, last week when he came back, I don't want them to automatically push him to the moon right off the bat because you have this opportunity to even have his most ardent detractors get behind him if you do it correctly.
Well, I think that's kind of the reason that they had the segment that they had on Raw with him and Seth last night, on Monday night.
True.
I'm personally okay with Roman staying around the mid-card for a while until it's determined whether or not he's going to have any kind of long-term viability in this comeback.
That's exactly what I was thinking, is have him, stay in the mid-card and, let him build himself back up.
My issue here is going to be is how they handle Roman Reigns, the character. I wish nothing but the best for Joseph Anoa'i, the person.
Mm-hmm.
But, or Joseph Fatu, I'm not sure which
it's part Anoa'i. Of that branch.
Okay. I wasn't sure which part of that branch he actually fell on. But I wish nothing but the best for him as a person. But as a character, he needs to be kept away from the main event for a while to allow fans to reconnect to him on a more personal level than just on a, he's back in the main events again.
Exactly.
Gee golly willikers.
And that as soon, if they push him to the moon too quickly, those fans that have, become endeared to him because of this will turn on him like that.
All right, let's go ahead. Is there any other news that you wanted to touch on, or just the?
Just the Ciampa stuff,
and then the Roman Reigns thing as well. All right, So that takes us to our predictions for this Sunday. It is WWE Fastlane from Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to a certain prediction.
Well, it had more to do with the fact that I live about an hour away and might actually be going.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'll keep you up to date. Let you know about Sunday night if I need to be replaced or if I'm going to be good to go. But for now, to be determined. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Let's do some predictions, shall we?
Let's do it.
Do you want to start with Raw or SmackDown first?
Let's do SmackDown since we're doing a SmackDown review, and then we'll go to Raw since I forgot it. Stupid me.
All right, then we start with the SmackDown Tag Team title matches. That's the first one listed on my run.
Hey, this actually works because it's a perfect segue to what I was about to talk about. So we can jump right into my reasoning for saying Cleveland. Interesting.
The Usos defend against Miz and Shane.
Do you know why I say Cleveland interesting?
Well, I think we may be on different lines of thinking here, but I'm listening.
Miz is from Cleveland, and we all know how hometown things go with, especially with title matches.
Not well.
Not well at all. So between that and every rumor saying that, oh, Miz and Shane are going to face off against each other at Mania, yeah, Usos. The big Usos win here.
All right, well then let me ask you this.
Okay.
Who turns on who?
I think... I'm not 100... Like, part of me is saying because of how, you know, everything is going with Miz... And, you know, what his character has been like over the last couple of months with the whole Shane thing and everything. And with the reality TV show and all of that. And with him having a family and everything. I think it's Shane turn... I think it's going to be Shane turning on Miz, more than likely. But at the same time, I wonder how much of 2012 is still looming in the... In WWE's head about a potential Miz face turn.
I'm going to say that neither one of them turns. It's kind of a surprise. They go into WrestleMania with a mutual respect situation going on. And
how Miz do you build the match then, though? Because if there's still...
Miz wants an... If you would let me finish, I will explain.
Okay.
Miz wants an opportunity to prove that he can go with the Shane McMahons that would impress his dad. He said that his dad was a huge fan of Shane because he lives life with no fear. Miz wants the opportunity to prove that he can have a similar kind of match. So he wants Shane, and he wants Shane in his specialty. He wants a street fight with Shane to prove that he can show no fear and that he can take out the man that his father is so proud of and prove that he is every bit the performer that Shane is.
If that's really the case, and I doubt they do this, although it would be a way to endear a lot more people to Miz, and if you really wanted to have Miz have a true face turn, this would be a no doubt knock it out of the park way to do it. But I don't think Miz has the athleticism or bravery to do it, but flip the script. Have it be a Hell in a Cell match.
I don't think you can do Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania again so soon.
I'll agree with that.
Having just done Shane and Taker 2 years ago.
Okay, then can you figure out any other way where, because a street fight, while yes, like you could have, like you can have him do certain things, it's not as spectacular. Like the reason why Shane is so remembered and the whole impetus for this feud is because of some of the high spot stunts that Shane has pulled over the years. Where could you do that, you know, outside of Hell in a Cell?
I think the street fight allows for it because they can brawl all around the WrestleMania stadium.
That's true. You could potentially set up the stage in a way where Miz would have something to jump off of.
And if you want to go full Vince Russo, George Mazanin can turn on Mike and join up with Shane.
Oh, God.
Never go full Russo. So we're both picking the Usos to retain here, then.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. The SmackDown Live Women's title is on the line as Asuka defends against Mandy Rose. Okay, so I know we kind of talked about this during the course of doing SmackDown of hopefully this doesn't mean what I think it means. Yeah. You know what I would do for this match here, Brandon? And this is honest to God how this would go. Okay. Bell ring, backfist, Asuka lock, tap out.
That's how it should go? But, oh, God. They've just disappointed. I hate to say it. And, yes, she's improved somewhat. But I hate to say it, but Asuka feels like Bray now. Where, no matter what they do to try to build her back up, it just doesn't, like, no matter what they do now, you're always going to have in the back of your mind, when are they going to screw her again? I want to say, Asuka retains, but, my official prediction I'm going to say is that Asuka retains. I'm going to hold out hope that Asuka retains. But I just have this bad, foreboding feeling that Vince is going to be like, oh, she's amazing, she's gorgeous, we got to put the title on her.
Well, the only thing, the only potential reason I could see to put the belt on Mandy here would be to have Naomi take it off her at WrestleMania to blow that off once and for all.
If that's the way they're doing it, then I'd be okay with it. But
the problem,
I doubt
the problem
they do.
Is though, yeah, the problem is, though, I don't think that that ends up happening. I think Asuka ends up getting put into some kind of a C title match. I do think Asuka retains, but I think Asuka's an afterthought going into WrestleMania. With
well,
the focus
she definitely
on the
is. I mean, the whole SmackDown women's title is an afterthought at this point because all the focus is on the Raw one.
Because none of the women on SmackDown actually want the SmackDown women's title. The two most important women on SmackDown want the Raw women's title.
Yep, precisely.
All right. Speaking of the two most important women on SmackDown, they meet in a singles match as Becky Lynch takes on Charlotte Flair. Because it's fair to Flair. That's all, folks. All
right. Oh, you mean Charlotte Flair, like Triple H kept on saying? Or Ashley Flair? Yes.
Was that long enough for you to get the point of my discontent at your shop and shoot names? Okay. Just making
sure. I mean, come on. WWE's doing it ad nauseum at this point, so.
Triple H doing it is different than you just mentioning Ashley Fleer out of nowhere. Like, really? Why? Unnecessary. Anyway.
Because you almost messed up and actually said it.
No, I said Charlotte Flair because it's fair to Flair. I went Bobby Heenan, actually.
Fair enough.
Anywho, Becky and Charlotte. Becky wins. She's added to the WrestleMania match. Charlotte wins. Becky's not added to the WrestleMania match. Ignoring the stupid fact that this match shouldn't be happening anyways, because now that Becky's reinstated, she was the Royal Rumble winner.
Let's not even go there. They seem to do this every year now.
I'm saying no contest. Rousey gets involved in causing.
But what's the reasoning behind it other than, like, unless you're just going where, like, she's just gone, like, completely crazy?
Try that again?
What's the reasoning behind her actually doing that other than, like, other than she's just gone completely crazy? Because that was the whole point.
Well, the obvious answer to that to me is, think about this here. Causing a double disqualification, she can inflict injury to Charlotte, and at the same time, Becky has to win this match in order to get back into the triple threat. If there's no winner, Becky's screwed, theoretically.
But wasn't the whole point of her dropping the title and everything? I know this whole feud has been convoluted as all hell, but but wasn't the whole point of Ronda dropping the belt a couple of weeks ago that was because she wanted Becky?
In theory, yes, but in theory, she also didn't want Charlotte when she wanted Becky. Now that she has to deal with one or the other, I don't think she would rather deal with both.
That's true.
Because she knows that she's going to have a target on her back because she went after both of them at TLC, as I mentioned earlier.
That's true. I'm officially saying that I think Becky wins. Just because, you know, I think this has gotten convoluted enough as is. You don't have to make it any more convoluted. Just let them, all three of them, feud going into Mania properly now. You only have a few weeks until Mania.
All right, that takes us back to the SmackDown Live heavyweight title match as Daniel Bryan, the champion that actually shows up, faces Kevin Owens. I think we kind of talked about this earlier. I don't think we really need to expand upon this here. There's no way Owens is winning this title.
Yeah, no, no. Bryan retains.
So, buy or sell that Kofi and Bryan interacted Fastlane in order to set up WrestleMania.
Unless there's the beatdown that we talked about and then the multiple run-ins, I don't think so. Because I'm honestly not sure how they fully set this up.
I'm saying that they have a backstage segment where they interact with each other, and then the match gets made on SmackDown, going on the SmackDown after Fastlane.
Okay, okay. I just have a feeling that because they're trying to do this as is, like, to an extent, just to further throw it down and just to further make it obvious that they're trying to do this, I feel like Vince is just going to try to put roadblock after roadblock after roadblock throughout the month of or throughout the rest of March, and maybe even up to the pay-per-view itself.
Do you remember what happened with Bryan when he had to beat Triple H to get into the triple
threat? Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Vince say, okay, well, if you beat such and such, then you can maybe have, okay, but if then you have to beat such and such.
Exactly.
Maybe Kofi has to run like a gauntlet or something in order to get the opportunity. I could see that happening, yeah. But we'll have to wait and see what happens out of it.
Yeah.
All right, shall we move over to Raw? There's only three matches on the Raw. Oh, wait. No, there is another SmackDown match. I forgot.
What's that?
The kickoff.
Oh, yes.
Ironic that I forgot the kickoff. Andrade and Rey Mysterio. Rey wins, sets up a future match with Samoa Joe for the U.S. title.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, I'd like to see them do more with Andrade, but Rey's a bigger name right now, and more fans are behind him. Plus, you have a heel U.S. champion.
True.
Okay, technically Joe's heel-ish, I guess, kind of. To most of us, he's not, but theoretically he is. Let's move over to Raw.
Okay.
The Boston Hug Connection, Bayley and Sasha Banks, defends the WWE Women's Tag Team titles against Nia Jax and
I think we both know where this is going.
I'm sorry I fell asleep mentioning to me. Okay, I believe my point has been made.
Yes. Yeah, Bayley and Sasha retain.
Rumors are the Iconics for the belts at Mania.
Well, the rumor I saw was that it was going to be a fatal four-way with one team from each brand.
So what? Raw, SmackDown, and NXT each send a challenger?
Yes.
Who would be NXT?
Pirates. Yeah, Sky Pirates, or unless you wanted to, although you don't have...
I don't think Marina Shafir and Jessamine Duke are ready, yeah.
Okay. Then if it's not then it has to be the Sky Pirates.
I would argue it would have to be the Sky Pirates. I mean, you have Aaliyah and what's-her-name that just recently aligned on Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah, but they're not, they've hardly had any TV time and aren't really well-known at all, even by NXT standards.
I mean, I like Vanessa Bourne. I think there's potential there, but yeah, no, there's not enough there for me to justify giving them a match at Mania.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would argue that the four-way sounds like the best way to go for that there. You could do Bayley and Sasha versus maybe the Riot Squad is the Iconics, and then put in the Sky Pirates there, and you have two heels, two face teams.
Yep.
And honestly, I don't think fans would be that upset if Bayley and Sasha were to drop the belts to Kairi and Io.
No, not at all.
The only issue I see potentially with that is Io having the NXT Women's title match at TakeOver New York.
Well, but, I mean, in theory, in theory, you could potentially have champs after Mania. Because aren't Ricochet and Aleister, I think they're going to go pretty far in the Dusty.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Dusty once it starts airing tonight at 8 o'clock on the WWE. Why am I shilling the WWE network? Been a long day. All right, let's get through the rest of these predictions.
Okay.
Shield versus Corbin, McIntyre, and Lashley.
I think we all know where this is going.
I don't think we do.
Really? You think the evil League of Evil bald-headed guys win? Well, two bald-headed and one not?
The rumor that I'm hearing from Mania is Ambrose and Reigns, and if that happens, then Ambrose turns on the Shield.
Huh. The rumor that I saw yesterday, which is what I was saying that they should do, because they've already kind of teased it when he first returned, they should do Reigns versus Corbin.
See, I have no interest in Reigns versus Corbin. Now, but Reigns versus McIntyre, I have an interest in.
But see, that would be a way to kind of show the fans that, hey, we're not, you know, making
put
him
Roman
go
in
crazy.
A lower card match at Mania exactly. In order to give him a way to ease back in. Okay, I can see where you're coming from there. And I do think that McIntyre deserves to be up a little bit higher on the Mania card, given all the effort that he's put in here. But I'm going to officially pick that the Shield wins, but I would not be surprised to see Ambrose turn.
Yeah, I think the Shield wins. I don't know what's going on with Ambrose. That's the only thing about that. Like, I think, you know, Ambrose, if he is in fact leaving, you could have him put over someone that, you know, needs the rub, like a McIntyre.
Yeah, but they've already done that match on Raw, like, three of the last 4 weeks.
True.
It
that's
kind
true.
Of lost its effectiveness going towards Mania.
That's true.
The last match to discuss is the Raw Tag Team titles. It is a triple threat where the Revival defend against Aleister Black and Ricochet and Chad Gable and Bobby Roode.
This is honestly the hardest to predict because...
Holy, thrown together tag teams, Batman. Jeez.
Because just based on just based on how they've been pushing them, you would think, you know, Aleister Black and Ricochet are the odds-on favorites. But I don't know. I know this kind of went down the tubes pretty quickly, but like I feel like they're still trying to hold the Revival down, so like they're gonna have them retain, I think.
Revival retain, Gable eats the fall off a Shatter Machine, Dash gets the pin.
Sounds about right.
There you have it, folks. The SmackDown Live review for the W2M Network is back.
Yep.
But rather that's a good thing or a bad thing is kind of discretionary. I'll let you use your judgment. But for now, we are back. So what's going on with you and Cedric Cologne over on Monday Night Raw?
We talked about Raw this past week, and we'll be back next week. So, you know, stay tuned. Lots of fun things.
Same Raw time, same Raw channel?
Yep.
We got to get you guys a shtick.
We've kind of just been stealing all of yours.
Well, they do say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I say, screw that. I want royalties.
No soup for you.
No. Oh, how dare you soup Nazi me? I don't even like Seinfeld and I got soup Nazi'd. It's a show about nothing. Sorry. All right. Eventually, once Brandon actually gets around to watching the shows in question, how the War Was Won will make its debut here on the W2M Network as well. I've officially got the two July pay-per-views watched. I watched the August Clash of the Champions. I do still need to watch SummerSlam, and that will put me 8 days away from the launch of WCW Monday Nitro, the battle for Monday nights between the WWE and WCW, WWF, technically. They hadn't gotten the F out yet.
Yep.
Although, nowadays, they're probably glad that they have the F out now that the World Wildlife Fund has been tied back to terrorists.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah.
That's like Wilford's bark. Shout out to Wilford for making a special guest appearance tonight because, well, who doesn't love when Wilford appears? I know Tori does, so.
Of course.
Got that going for her. Where else can people find you, Brandon?
They can find me on Twitter at @Bisco_GothamSN, on Facebook in the Wrestling to the Max group, posting weird memes. Have you been enjoying my my funny memes?
This Momo shit is about the dumbest stuff I've ever seen.
Did you see my Fickle Rick?
I'm not a Rick and Morty fan, okay. So it didn't affect me. Tony Momo did crack me up a little bit. I'm not going to. I did kind of. I know how, just because I know how many Cowboy fans are in that group chat.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah. Although, you know what would really be funny if he was predicting a play while the meeting was happening? Future Upgrade reference. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm on Twitter, kind of, sort of, at HEB the Eagle. I'll be honest, I barely use it. You're more likely to find me on Facebook, Yes Wrestling Group, now the Chair Shot Group. My reviews for Progress are actually up on the chairshot.com. Chapter 3 just dropped. They are written reviews here, so you get to see kind of my writing style. And I take a stream of consciousness look as we go through This Is Progress, and that's Chapter 3, 50 Shades of Pain. It's up right now on thechairshot.com. In addition, we do the kickoff here on the W2M Network, but that is currently in postseason hiatus. However, we will be back for a special March Madness edition in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about when we're going to do that because, you know, obviously that Selection Sunday is also on St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out the official launches and stuff, because if I'm not mistaken, the very first day of the tournament, I want to say, is the 21st of the actual tournament game, or the 20th of the actual tournament games, rather than the play-in four that really don't matter in the long run most of the time. But the opening Thursday is the 21st, so it would have to be sometime between the 17th and the 21st.
Probably
the
20th. Do it like the 20th. Since, you know, unless we do it right after SmackDown or something.
We'll have to talk to Eric and Jason and get them on board for a time that works for everybody and make it work.
Yep.
That's going to officially wrap us up. Thanks for listening, everybody. Glad to be back. We'll talk to you next week with more of the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Live Review here on the W2M Network, online at W2MNet.com. Also, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast listening devices, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, CastBox. Hey, Brandon, guess what?
Spotify is here.
Yeah, but the Glacier joke doesn't really carry over to SmackDown, so we got to figure out something to
follow that way. Yeah.
For the sake of the kickoff, Glacier's a dick. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys next week here on the SmackDown Live Review for the W2M Network.